Episode 217.
When you analyze every single comeback, you're going to have either a parts issue or a communication issue, possibly a procedural issue. And what I've been noticing over a trend of about 6 months, it all has to do with our workflow process.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, and welcome and thanks for listening to the aftermarket's premier podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. And welcome to episode 217, an interview recorded at Vision 2017 with Stacia Hamp from Community Auto in Fort Collins, Colorado. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus for serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand. Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. As of today, I've renamed the Town Hall webinar to Town Hall Academy. It much better explains the value it brings to you. Peer-to-peer education on our specific industry topics with industry professionals within the same society, the aftermarket. So as we move forward each week, live on Fridays at noon Eastern, we are now called the Town Hall Academy. Hey, have you had a chance to create a lunch and learn program around the Town Hall Academy? Look over the list of subjects on the website learning page. That's remarkableresults.biz/learning. Pick one and have your crew take the lesson. Even your own coaching or 20 group can watch and discuss the Academy session. And they should be on your must-watch list. Hey, I want to thank my new Facebook friends, Raymond Gunder, Tara Topol, Stephen Buckley, and Matt Olert. And also a shout out and thanks to my new LinkedIn connections, Aaron Burns, Jason Nelson, and Don Soul. Did you know that you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and Stitcher Radio, and on my own app for iOS and Android? Now meet Stacia Hamp, part of the father-daughter leadership team at Community Auto in Fort Collins, Colorado. We met at Vision 2017 and recorded our interview in my Vision studio. Find Stacia's own show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E217. Community Auto received one heck of an honor from the Better Business Bureau as the 2017 Torch Award winner for business ethics in a small business category. Stacia says that her dad, Eric Warrington, and the entire team are so deserving of this honor because her dad has made transparency and ethics their cornerstone. A recognition like this, she says, is the reward for staying true to their purpose and core business culture. In the episode, Stacia talks about her formal education as a teacher and how it has helped the business, how DVI has increased transparency and trust with their customers, and how well the diverse personalities of dad and daughter complement the business. She also talks about her work with ASA Colorado and a discussion on comebacks and the evaluation process to prevent them. Now get ready to listen to Stacia Hamp and listen to when she starts talking proud about their BBB Torch Award for Business Ethics. Now here we go with Stacia Hamp. Listen, I'm at Vision 2017 and in the portable studio, and I met Stacia yesterday. Loved her story about being the daughter of the father who owns the shop, and she's also a part owner of the shop. And I've had a goal, Stacia, to interview an active working family member. I've interviewed an awful lot of sons of dads, and I'm glad to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Carm.
Fort Collins, Colorado. Wow. 13 years in the business with your dad?
Yep.
So how did you start?
Great question. Didn't think that I'd be where I'm at. I actually went to CSU and graduated with an elementary school teacher degree.
Doesn't that help you in the business?
No, believe it or not, it does. Yes. Yes. You need to teach customers about their cars. And
I imagine that having that education background helps you to build processes and the training commitment that you have inside the business.
Yeah.
Stacia, being an elementary educated person, do you find the need to be a continual learner?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That's actually one of my passions.
It is.
As a continual learner.
Okay, great. Where are you getting this knowledge tree?
Books. Okay. Lots of books. And also lots of networking. Having conversations with other shop owners, other service writers, managers.
You just mentioned service writer. Is that what you do in the company?
No, not anymore.
Okay. All right. No. But you did.
Yes.
And you love to learn about that and then bring that to your people.
Yes.
So you really are an educator inside the business. Because are you the one leaping out to get the education and are you bringing it back?
Yes. And I'm also, it's an expectation for all the employees is to be in constant training.
Training. Great question. Mm-hmm. I ask training all the time to my guests about their is there a certain commitment that you provide? You ask your techs to have how many hours a year? Do you search for the class? Do they search for the class? Give me an idea of the training culture inside community.
Well, it's kind of a blend of both. I think it's important that what they bring to the table, what they want to do. We like to do that as well, whatever they want to do. But we do require 50 hours of training every year. And it's not just for technicians. It's also for service writers and managers. Because it's important for everybody to build their soft skills as well.
I asked you about training culture. Is there a over umbrella culture inside of community that makes it, if you will, a family style business?
Yes. Yes. Well, it's not just family blood. It doesn't matter whether you're blood. You're part of the family.
How do you and your dad work on that culture?
Constant communication. So the moment that I come through the shop doors in the morning, I'm saying hi to everybody with a smile, positive attitude, and asking everybody about their day, about their weekend, what do they have planned, getting to know them.
You care. You care immensely about their world.
Absolutely.
Beyond work.
Yes.
Is there, a purpose or a vision that the company has that's posted on a wall somewhere that everyone rallies around?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess actually it's not posted. It's more ingrained in us.
Cool.
What our mission is.
And how was it ingrained? Just based on the constant feedback and
actions.
Actions.
So part of our mission statement is never put money ahead of people. And my dad has embodied that. In fact, he's made decisions that are more people-based, which were not good for the business.
You hear all the time, purpose before profits literally produces the profits if your people are aligned. Do you agree with that?
Yes. So I did several years back Bob Cooper's Elite Service Advisor training, and they have a master's course, so it's 6 months. And that was something that we learned was if you're doing the right things for the right reasons, the money just follows.
It's such a powerful statement, but it's true. Many people that listen to the podcast hear a lot of our very successful entrepreneurs talk about this. And over and over and over again, I think that's going to crash through to people that need to adopt a culture in their business and a purpose that puts people before profits. So do you believe in the adage that says, if I take care of my people, then they will take care of my customers?
Yeah.
And was that, when you joined the business, was that you or was that always your dad?
Always dad. Dad was the one he started that. That's who dad is. When I joined the business, what I brought to the table was the processes and procedures in order to keep everybody underneath the same umbrella or on the same playing field. And dad really helps bind us together in that other way.
Not to say that you're not a people person, because I think you are, but dad brings that emotional side of the business to front.
Yes.
Does he know all your customers?
Well, he used to when he was the face of the company.
Okay.
And then I took over and I was the face, and now I've handed off that baton to my manager and my service writer.
How smart to be able to scale the business where you don't have to be that point person.
It is helpful to have a team, so it's not all on you.
Is it a goal? I mean, you've heard the myth, working on your business, not in it.
Yep.
Are you at that point?
So that's exactly where dad was at several years ago, before I came on board. He was doing it all. And that actually was really hard for him to let go of that, because he was a technician, started a business, and letting go of the day-to-day was really, really hard for him. But he brought me on board. I bring some other things, and then we bring some other people on board, and now it's just kind of starting to develop its own life.
I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Do you actually put products in the hands of the technicians?
Yes, absolutely. Anytime there's new product introduced, perhaps a new problem solver or a new technology, we keep that stuff on the van just because their local parts supplier may not have it available. And we think it's important to show them what's coming. And then seeing the part is really, especially with the new OEX, seeing the part and touching the part is something that changes perspective rather than just a piece of paper with a picture of the part.
Okay, so you put an OEX pad into the hand of a technician, and you've done this, I'm sure, hundreds of times. What do you see on their face when they see it?
You can tell they get it. You know, in our industry, there's technology that we use all the time that you look at and you're like, that just doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to take your word that it works. You put an OEX brake pad in somebody's hand, and I just ask the question, why does this look so weird? And they're like, I bet it's to make it cool. They get it as soon as you put it in their hand.
So technicians holding your product and listening to your presentation, do you ever see the light bulbs go up? They raise their hand and says, boy, I've got a great idea for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not only does that happen every time I'm with a group of guys, I solicit ideas. I'm like, listen, a lot of the stuff that I've shared with you originated in a bay somewhere where the technician said, you know what, if you could do this, it would be really cool. And so the stuff that I get, I send up, you know, to our engineering team and say, hey, could we do something like this? And there's things in the works, and there's some things that came out recently that originated in, hey, if you could do this, it would be helpful. Because at the end of the day, you know, I think Federal Mogul is known in every line to be a problem solver, and not just solving a problem, but making an installation easier as well.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Tell me your best customer service story.
You know, that's hard to pinpoint.
Okay.
An exact story. Kind of more, for me, it's more of like a feeling of what I get.
Okay.
So there's not really just one story. It's more when they can actually feel comfortable to talk to you about their life and talk to you as a friend, then you know you've succeeded. That they feel comfortable doing business with you, but then also being personable with you. You know, a lot of customers, when they first, you know, when they come into the shop, they have their guard up and they don't know who to trust, what to do, feel kind of out of the loop. And so once they let that guard down, then you know you did your job.
Is your job to help them let that guard down?
Yes.
And do your people, have they been trained to do that, or are they just natural people?
Oh, Valerie and Evan, they do a far better job than I do.
Got it. Well, you know, yeah. Your strengths. We spoke. If you're a process and procedures person, you don't necessarily have a ton of people skills. And I'm not being negative at all.
It's true.
But the smartest entrepreneurs know their strengths, know where they need to fill in the blanks. So you've got two service writers that are fronting the business for you and doing everything mm-hmm. that you expect that is a little hard for you to do.
Yes. Yes.
The transition, which is so cool, is that you had to do that stuff while you were evolving in the business. Dad, well, you know, Stacia, you have to do all these jobs. And you go, oh, Dad, please don't put me on the counter. And I'm not saying that that happened or it didn't, but you had to do it. You couldn't teach it to someone if you hadn't walked a mile in those shoes.
Yeah.
Now, when you hire someone, do you look for the traits that you want to have as the face of your business?
Oh, yeah.
And how do you do it? Is there a test? Do you do any kind of assessments at all?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, there's no one right way. It's a combination of things. So, I mean, first of all, actually, it takes us forever to hire people because we wine and dine them several times, have conversations with them just to get to know the person, the personality, before we even know the skills. And then, yeah, the personality assessments, those are kind of fun.
Okay. I'm loving it. Keep talking.
But,
tell me. I just applied. You're going to take me out for a ribeye dinner somewhere, right?
Yes, with shrimp.
Excellent. And you're, of course, you're watching me and you're asking me all great questions to see how I react in a social setting.
Yeah. And questions about you. What makes you tick?
Right.
What do you like to do? What are your hobbies? You know, also to kind of see if that, if your your personality is going to fit in our culture.
Yes, you're looking for that. Mm-hmm. A side note real quick, because I want to get back to that hiring process. How many people have come up to you and said, Stacia, I think you made a wrong hire? Is there a self-assessment that goes on inside the business? Because you may have hired someone who doesn't fit. You thought it was right on, and all of a sudden, 30 days later.
Yep, and that's absolutely happened as well. So I'm constantly getting feedback from the crew. How is this person doing? How are you guys working with this person? As well as when we first bring them on, I'm actually daily to weekly, I'm in contact with them to see how it's going for them as well.
So I have my first meal with you. What's next?
Well, it depends on...
If I'm at the grade, then I may actually have a real live interview with a resume in your office.
Yeah.
do you show me your culture, your purpose, so that I understand what I'm coming into? Because you're really saying, listen, I'm looking for a round peg in a round hole, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll invite you to the shop.
Okay.
And have you meet the crew as well.
Is every application worthy of dinner, or do you filter it out a little bit?
Oh, you got to filter it out.
All right. I'm just checking. Okay. If not, I can't imagine what your meal bill would be.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a budget.
Smart. Oh, she's a budget person too. I love it. Processes and procedures. You had mentioned that just a bit ago. What's been the latest process that you've had to go back to your book and say, we have to update this because we're in constant, if you will, renewal or improvement stage?
Yeah. Actually, what we're working on right now is reducing comebacks. When you analyze every single comeback, you're going to have either a parts issue or a communication issue, possibly a procedural issue. And what I've been noticing over a trend of about 6 months, it all has to do with our workflow process. So our last team meeting, I presented all the comebacks, and then I also presented exactly where we failed in our workflow process because we have that all documented. And I highlighted it. And when I was talking about it, the previous team meeting, everybody just kind of looked at me like, okay, that's great. So it's workflow process related. Okay, great. Well, it wasn't until I really highlighted it on the paper. Now it's the paper talking, not just Stacia talking. And it hit them in a different way. And they could see themselves in that workflow process and see, whoa, okay, I understand. Actually, if I tweaked it this way, or if I actually did what our workflow process has, then this comeback probably wouldn't have happened.
Your dad has to be so excited to have you there.
Well, I'm excited to be there, and especially with him, because we complement each other very well. I need him. His personality and my personality were actually completely different.
Right, but your checks and balances for each other.
Yep.
And that whole thing just comes to the top of the tree. I loved what you said, that it is, you know, our workflow problem. You know, is it you're missing things? Are they stepping over some of the steps?
Exactly. A combo of that.
Okay.
Missing steps.
What a value, Dad. She's an analyzer. How cool is that? And you were able to, it took 6 months to figure out reducing comebacks. Did you ever put a number to it? What it would cost if you improved it like 4 or 5%?
No, that's actually a great question.
You know, hey, we've got 8 comebacks this month out of however many. Mm-hmm. And if we could just reduce it by 1, analyze back. Everybody, I think, has a KPI on what a comeback does cost the business. And
We do track as far as the what it costs the business. Yes. And we want to be within under 0.5% of our total sales. And
so you're concerned that.
So it has been.
Say, for example, you were 0.6. Should we be concerned? Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So actually, most comebacks can be resolved if you're evaluating the workflow process. Most of them can.
Excellent. I was talking to a young man yesterday. That's what's great about being here at Vision. The biggest, most powerful reason to be at a training event, not only the training, is the networking. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to a young millennial service manager who is going around documenting all the policies and the procedures in this very big, very aggressive service professional company on video.
Video.
Video. If there's a process or a procedure, he narrates it, and he shows how it's done. They have a video library of exactly, it's not 100% full, but actually I invited him to come on the show and describe it to me. Mm-hmm. Here's a millennial taking the digital age on, says, I don't want paper. We want video.
Yeah.
Owner says, yes, they're documenting it. He showed me on his phone, I don't know, some kind of private site that they had, or he's got all the videos, and he started to show me, and I'm watching. He says, yeah, well, you know, when a car comes in, here's what we do. And so anybody who knew joins the company.
Way easier to train.
Yes. Say they're in that, you know, you've got to hire young people, and the way they get their uptake is videos.
So mm-hmm.
I not only wanted to share that with you, but to our listener, and encourage our listener to keep an eye out for that episode, because I think it's not necessarily revolutionary, but it is, and it's an awful lot of hard work.
It's a brilliant idea.
But it is a brilliant.
Because most people are visual.
Yes. And so I asked, you know, because I'm an inquisitor, I just love to find out. And I said to him, his name is Jeremy. And I said, Jeremy, what happens if you actually would call up the paper policy and the procedure and you'd make a small little change to it and then tell everybody, listen, we are now going to do this instead of that. I said, in a paper procedure, it's simple. You type it, you print it, you put it in the book, done. I said, how do you fix the video? And he goes, we have to do another video. Or they do an addendum to it. But listen, video is easy to do today. Smartphones produce pretty good stuff. Somebody needs to hold the camera. You don't necessarily have to have a script, but if you walk through the procedure with people, here's how we check out the customer. By the way, we look for smudges, we look for this, we look for, and if you will, there's a conclusion. It's not words.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up becoming the visual how. No different than a written procedure. Loved it. I thought it was really interesting. And because you're a procedures person, I'm interviewing you and I'm saying, well, I gotta run this.
Oh,
by.
My wheels are turning. I'm going to go do that.
Stacia, what does being successful mean to you?
Do you love what you do? That's success to me.
Put your feet on the ground every morning. You just can't wait to get to work.
Yeah.
Good for you. And the team must see that in you, how much you love your job. It's probably not a job to you.
Yeah, it's a way of life.
Yeah. Anything holding you back right now?
Judy. No, I'm joking.
All right. I'm going to have to actually tell the audience that we're sitting here with Judy Hagelin, and we have a guest in the studio as she's observing our – so, okay, we Judy, you are brought into the episode here. And we're actually going to interview her later today. Hey, is it okay if you don't know everything?
Oh, yeah. You can't know everything.
Do you have coaches or mentors that you rely on to help you?
Yes. And that would be Judy Hagelin.
Okay, great. And so do you talk every day with Judy?
Yes.
Aha.
Yes.
And do you share your numbers?
Yeah. And we talk about anything and everything. Personal, business, life.
Wow. How cool to have a friend like that. And, well, association membership?
Yes.
What?
ASA.
Okay, great.
ASA Colorado.
ASA Colorado. You're active and involved?
Oh, very active
okay.
and involved.
Okay. To
yes.
what degree?
Yes. Well, part of the board.
All right.
And help run the summit, which was a huge success this year.
You told me about that.
We doubled the attendees and vendors.
Wow. And you gave me a beautiful booklet. Very impressive.
Oh, yeah.
So it's management and technical training.
Mm-hmm.
And no lack of people who want to come there and train or have a vendor booth show. How is ASA Colorado growing?
We're rebranding.
Ah.
Rebranding and growing.
Great. Good for you. Now, you belong to any other kind of business development group?
Yes, the Napa BDG, okay. Napa Elite BDG.
Well, that gives you an awful lot of opportunities to discuss business, doesn't it?
Yes, and the leadership in that group is just superb. So I've really learned a lot from them.
What tech advances could disrupt your business in the next 5 to 10 years?
I don't look at them as disruptions. I think the change is fantastic. It's fun.
So you think of them as opportunities.
Absolutely.
That's a perfect attitude. It's like, bring them on.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them on. We'll figure it out.
And they're fun to drive. So why not?
Absolutely. So are you really talking autonomous cars or the high level of technology?
Yeah, autonomous cars. I really hope that those do come about.
Because you want to sit in the back seat and do what?
Have a drink.
Ah,
Chill.
Wow.
Maybe take a nap.
Yeah.
Naps are for winners.
I love that. It seems like whenever I take that, I can get myself that nap. I could go for another dozen hours.
Yep.
What do you find in a nap format here? I'm crazy. We're talking about naps. In a nap format, my listeners know I'm an inquisitor. And is it like a 10-minute, 20-minute? And if you go too long,
you need to take power naps.
Power naps. And how long are your power naps?
Well, what I would like is 20 minutes, but to be perfectly honest, I don't take naps.
Oh.
Yeah, I need to relax a little bit, switch that up. Probably be more effective if I did.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine if you're running the business to that they're going to see you in the lounge chair in the office taking a power nap. Yeah, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The preferred way to get training to your technicians?
Local.
Okay. From, for example, Napa. And are there any other training?
And CTI.
Okay.
The CTI classes are really good.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you pay for it?
Yes. Yep.
Have you ever thought of bringing your techs to Vision?
No. But what I have thought of is growing the ASA Colorado event even bigger and better.
Got it.
And that's where my techs want to go.
Got it. Marketing, social media. Are you the marketing arm of the company?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Yep.
What's working best for you?
No, actually what's working best is really the whatever goes on at the front counter. It's those referrals. Those are the best type of customers that we get.
So tell me about your referral strategy. How are you making that work?
We send them a thank you. So when somebody refers somebody, we do a referral thank you with a gift card. We also have a rewards program where they can earn back dollars and also free roadside assistance.
So I'm a customer, first time in. I had a great experience. Do you ask me at the conclusion of our transaction for a referral?
Oh, yes. We'll even offer $30 off to whatever person you refer.
Are you asking for good reviews on the internet from your customers?
Oh, great question. Yes. And that is key. Those online reviews. A lot of people, before they even come into your business, they're going to be looking at your reviews.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how you doing with your reviews?
We're trying to build, but we are much better this year than we were the previous year.
We did a town hall live called How to Manage a Negative Online Review, and it was an incredible subject. We had three of my podcast alumni on to talk about it. And it was so interesting how it spun into customer service and processes and how you can almost sense that you may be getting a bad review.
Yes.
Because something broke down, right?
Yes. Actually, a lot of the processes are geared towards hoping that we don't get a bad online review.
Exactly.
It's very top of mind.
Exactly. Your shop management system, what do you use?
Mitchell,
are you using any kind of digital vehicle inspection software?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we use Bolt-On.
And you use Bolt-On.
Mm-hmm.
When you text a customer, do they get swag because look at what my shop sent me? Are they excited to see the pictures you send them?
Yeah, we've gotten that response, yes. Pictures are a million words.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the implementation of this digital vehicle inspection system in your, what's it done for your business?
It's helped increase transparency, which in turn increases customer trust.
Wow. That is a great statement. I love that statement. Did Bolt-On pay you to say that?
Yeah, right.
So the things, you come into the business, you I don't know if you're a to-do list person or you're highly structured when comes to, okay. What are the things that you do right, you know, the beginning of the day that add the most value to the business?
Yeah, actually just being a support for people, just knowing that I'm there.
Tell me about the routine of the week that helps build this culture and intimacy in your company.
Well, every day, of course, yes, I'm reviewing numbers and seeing where we're at, where we need to go.
Does anything like cream to the top? Are you always looking for a specific key performance indicator and keeping a real close eye on it?
It depends on what we need at that time.
What do you mean by what you need?
Right now, we're trying to grow our new customer base.
Got it. Yeah.
So that's been top of mind right now.
And is that all about referrals then?
Well, there's other things that help with that.
Like?
Being a part of different groups.
Excellent. So community.
Yeah.
What are you doing
to
involve yourself?
Part of some different lead groups, and not so much lead groups that are like BNI where you have to get certain leads. They're not as structured. So it's kind of more of just being with friends.
Are you involved in any civic community groups?
Yeah. So, well, the chamber, that's been a big one.
All right.
The chamber, we're also just starting to put on, women's clinics.
Ah, I love it. We were in here earlier doing our Facebook Live today from Vision, and it was all about community. And, Bogie and Amy were here and Frank, and the whole women clinic thing came up.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been doing it?
Well, we just started. Just had the first one last week.
Excellent. How many were there?
It was high school girls and mothers. And so there was about 20 there.
Did you have it scripted or was it just off the cuff?
You know, I had an agenda put together that morning and a couple techs volunteered that day to be there. It's completely off the cuff, actually. But the way all four of us worked together, it sounded like it was scripted.
I bet you it did.
It worked out well.
New customers from that?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm assuming so. A lot of them that had never been to our shop said a lot of good things afterwards and that they were really excited that they knew about us and to meet us. But it was only a week ago.
Okay. So it's fresh in your mind. You're excited about it. It was an important thing to do. Will you do another one?
Oh, yeah.
And how soon?
Hopefully this next quarter. It's actually a lot easier to put together than I originally anticipated. The whole reason I haven't really done it, was because of how much work it takes to plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually really doesn't, because you're doing what you do every single day. You're just sharing the knowledge.
How are you promoting it?
Well, this one we didn't have to promote because it was a charity group that actually came to us and wanted us to help them.
A great, great idea. Get a charity group. Now, what did they get? Did they just get the learning from it, or was there? Okay.
So the point for them was...
They offered it to their membership.
Yes.
And did they pay $5 to the charity in order to come and you did it for free?
Yeah, so we did it for free.
Okay.
And actually for this group, it was their whole premise is teaching young high school girls basic life skills. And so they wanted to learn about basic automotive maintenance and some things that they can do themselves and also some things to be aware of. For example, you know, a lot of people forget about this, but it costs money to drive a car. So plan, budget, maintain it. That way you're not, when you get that $1,000 bill, it's not a shock to you because you already know that, oh yeah, of course, I need to pay to maintain my car. That makes sense.
Some of us forget about that.
Yeah.
We think we turn the key, it's always going to be there, and it won't cost us a dime.
Exactly.
Especially after we stop paying for it. Oh, I'm done paying for the car. Wow. Wait a minute. Take that payment. Put it in the bank.
Yep.
You're going to need it now more than ever. People don't get that part. I know. I did an episode just recently with Brett Beechler, and he's out doing lunch and learns in the community.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah.
And I just love the idea, and I wanted to share it because you seem to, you know, be leaning toward, you know, how to reach out into the community and do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to share it with you. Have you ever given a tour? By the way, it's the same car care clinic and a couple of PowerPoint slides. You go to a place at noon. You hang out with an insurance agency or something like mm-hmm. that. And you teach them as much as you can about their car maintenance. And all of a sudden, presto, here comes some new customers. If you were doing fleet work, a lot of times you can get some fleet work out of it. Tours. Did you ever give a tour of your business to current or future customers?
Yes. Our shop is always open.
How neat. And are they impressed to see how many tools you need and you know, the computers that exist in the back shop?
Actually, most of the comments we get is they're impressed with how clean it is.
Yeah. Take those notes, Judy. Thank you so much. Yeah.
You know what? We're both benefiting here. We're all three of us are benefiting from this interview. This is great. So look at, I've really, really enjoyed talking to you. I'm so glad we met up here at Vision. You have a big aha moment to tell me about?
Our huge, actually huge eureka moment is winning the Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for Ethics.
Oh my, how exciting. What an honor.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Extreme honor. Oh. And especially being in the our industry, winning an award for ethics. It's just it's a beautiful moment.
You know, your dad should be so proud, you know, of how well you've come into the business and helped earn that together.
Well, I appreciate that. But actually, it's really dad that won this award. He should have won this award 20 years ago. He's just finally being recognized now.
How proud are your people over this?
So that's what's really neat about this award is finally not only my dad is recognized for all the work that he's done, but also the people, you know, also my crew, Evan, Val, Alan, Jake, Phil, Mike, all of them are finally recognized for the true ethics that they do have. And they carry that through day in, through day out, through every nut and bolt, every repair, every interaction with the customer, but yet are constantly bombarded with outside forces of, well, we don't trust you. Well, you're charging too much. Well, you're unethical. You're just trying to upsell me. And that's not the case at all. And so finally, they're recognized for this.
It brings up so many thoughts of mine. The media seems to have a heyday with some of the dishonest people out there, and we have to put up with that,
yeah.
Which gives the industry a terrible black eye, and some of the operators that are out there that aren't living in your world of integrity and trust, that so many customers walk away with a very uncomfortable feeling about what just happened,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have this, I guess, how many customers come to you and say, I'm so happy I found this place?
A lot. We hear that all the time.
The award. Was it a peer review? Was it a consumer review? Did it come right from BBB? How did you get recognized?
So it came from the BBB. And how they judge it is not only the BBB, but then part of that panel is community members, leaders, and we knew nobody on that panel.
That is off the charts, so special.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the phone rang, you picked it up, and you probably fell over.
We had to ask if what they were saying was really true.
Fake news.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fabulous ending to this interview. And one final question. I'm so proud and so happy for you. Give us some great words of wisdom to live by.
Love what you do.
That's it.
Simple as that.
Is that written down? Do you have a saying on the wall somewhere?
No.
Love what you do.
I live it, eat it, and breathe it.
Stacia Hamp from Community Auto, Fort Collins, Colorado. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining Stacia Hamp and myself. It's always great to hear from second generation family and the working relationship and impact the parent has on their leadership role. I did so enjoy Stacia's straight talk on so many subjects covered. She brought her no-nonsense process approach along with many smiles to the interview. Please check out her own show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E217, and there you'll find a video on the shop and their Torch Award. Hey, I need your help. My creative fuel comes from you, my listener. Not only the ideas and suggestions, the fuel is ignited when you listen as a loyal fan. Now, I know there are solid wisdom nuggets in every interview, along with teaching moments that help you grow as an important member of the aftermarket. So when I see thousands of listens on the episodes, I know that value is being delivered. Now, your help is simple. Just tell a friend. With the millions of members of our aftermarket community, I can never have enough listeners to the podcast. So, hey, your part is share, tweet, like, send an email to a friend. Help us get the word out. And thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.